And joining me in the KRVS studios this afternoon are Sean Roy, who is director of the UL Lafayette Opera Theater, and Nathan Abbott, who is performing in Die Fledermaus, The Revenge of the Bat, which is their collaborative production with the UL Symphony and the UL Choral Department. This weekend, it is a part of, and actually the finale, of the College of the Arts Festival of the Arts, which has been going on since last week. And I love the poster you all have here. I mean, it's Die Fledermaus, you would think immediately it's a classical operetta. Of course, it's by Johann Strauss, but it's this psychedelic bat flying across the poster. So it's kind of an update of Die Fledermaus.
Yeah, it's a tie-dye bat. When I talked to Jennifer Campbell, who designed the poster, I said, okay, here's what I want. I want tie-dye and a bat. And I sent her two images, and that's what she came up with. And I saw that, I went, that's perfect.
It is perfect.
It's colorful. It looks like it would be a black light poster.
So how did this get updated?
Yeah, how did this
here?
Happen? Mm-hmm. Right. Yes. Okay. My crazy mind, right? When I started to do the piece last year, we always plan these things a year in advance. And then I talked to Michael Blaney, the conductor of the symphony, and we decided to tackle this piece. Of course, it's written by Strauss. It was written in 1874 and in the Viennese operetta tradition with the wonderful waltzes and stuff. And so why in the world would somebody like me decide to do this
up
in 1976? Originally, when I was found out that the dates I had chosen coincided with the Festival of the Arts, I started figuring, well, how can we make this tie-in? And then I looked at the honorees, looked at some of the Keith Sonnier, pictures, and thought, oh, okay, well, it's colorful, it's modern. And then I thought, and then I looked back because he had stuff from the 60s, 70s, 80s. And so then I went back to the story. And I said, what is Fledermaus really about? It's not about Vienna. It's not about waltzes. It's about infidelity, about revenge, about crazy parties.
Which could happen anywhere, huh?
And so I thought, well, I grew up in that. I'm a 70s child, and I graduated in 1976, and I went, okay, I know this era. I said, let's attempt the 1970s, version of Die Fledermaus. I thought, how is that going to work? I said, is it going to play against type? So you have this waltzy music with this, disco look on stage. And I went, okay, yeah, I think so. So that's how it happened. We ended up not really incorporating any of the Keith Sonnier things. We had thought about maybe, using some of his materials or stuff, but it didn't work out. But I just liked the idea so much of doing it that I just kept it.
Well, there's something very much in the spirit of what both Keith and Dickie Landry were involved in New York in the 60s and
70s. It takes place in Vienna in the real version, but ours takes place in Hollywood. So
in
a little, obviously much overblown, overdone people with lots of money who have nothing better to do than, have these drug-induced parties and lots of alcohol, and
that's not such a big leap,
the world
is there?
That lives in. No, not at all. It's really not. I said, you're basically seeing a Fledermaus in 1970s costumes, including a disco dance in the middle of Act Two
with a disco ball.
You have to come.
Oh, you've got to see that. So, Die Fledermaus actually means the bat.
The bat.
Okay. Why? First of all, people may want to know, why is it called the bat?
What is? I always say people think this is operas about vampires. It has nothing to do with vampires. I subtitled it The Revenge of the Bat because that's really what it is. It just means the bat. It's a story. Well, maybe Nathan can tell us because that's part of his story in the show.
He can
tell
us
why he's being revenged upon
by the bat. We go into the story, what did you have to do in order to make it fit? You didn't change any of the lyrics or the words.
I did. Yes.
You did change some of
them. Because we're doing it in English. Obviously, it was written in German.
Right.
It's an operetta, so therefore it's like a musical. It has spoken dialogue and sung pieces. So I just took the translation from the score, and I started rewriting and added words like groovy and this is a gaz rather than how fun, and other things. And then I took the script. So I found a script that was already pretty good and kind of funny, and I totally adapted it and rewrote it for this production. And that was one of the funnest things to do because they like all everything flooded back from my high school days. So
platform shoes.
Well, we have bell bottoms, platform shoes, aviator glasses.
And you've got the works.
Yes, up there. So.
Well, Nathan Abbott, you play the main character Gabriel Rosenshine. You are a returning student to UL Lafayette. You got your undergraduate degree here.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Graduated in 2010.
And what was your degree in?
Music performance. It was
okay. All right. And you came back for a graduate degree. What made you decide to go for further studies and to choose the UL graduate?
It was program? Always a plan. When I attended here for my undergrad, I always had chances to perform. Ms. Roy is always great about getting the students out there and getting us opportunities. We had always kept in touch after I graduated, and it was time to come back and to start, get back on my feet.
we happen to have an assistantship available,
yeah.
So I kind of pulled a few strings.
What highlights do you remember from your undergraduate time? What performances were you in that you particularly loved?
My first opera was the Barber of Seville, the collaboration with the Acadian Symphony Orchestra. I was in Carmen and the Marriage of Figaro.
He was during that era when we did those collaborations with ASO.
Well, and what a great opportunity for an undergraduate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Got to do three major roles.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
It was a lot of fun. This show has been nothing but fun.
So this is your first year in graduate school?
My first semester.
Your first semester, yes. And you just dive right into the psychedelic.
This
tie-dyed deflator mask. Well, tell us about your character and how this has been remade. What is the story and how has it changed from the original
The entire plot line is tied between my best friend, who is Carson, who is a doctor, and I. I'm a practical jokester, and he's getting revenge on a practical joke I did to him 3 years ago at a New Year's Eve party.
And you're a film director or
yes.
stage mm-hmm. film director, okay.
Yes.
And can you tell us what that practical joke was, or is that something that has to unfold?
No, it's okay. It's all right.
Well, we attended a New Year's Eve party, and he got drunk, and I dumped him on a park bench in the middle of a park, and he was dressed in his bat wings mask and not much else.
And he just left him there.
And I left him there.
And when he awoke the next morning, people were standing around.
Staring at him.
He had to walk home like that. So Carson has been waiting 3 years to get revenge.
Just
and so
the right
he
moment.
Was the bat. Uh-huh. So it is revenge of the bat.
Of the bat.
So he does this whole scheme to get him to make a fool of him.
Yeah.
And invites all these people to this party at this Russian aristocratic Prince Orlovsky's house.
And
where
Prince
people come in disguise mm-hmm, and then mm-hmm. including his wife. And then he woos his own wife, and then of course he gets caught in the end. But everything's happy, they make up in the end, and everybody's
it's a happy
so it's a lot
operetta.
Of costume, it's mm-hmm, a lot of disguising, mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. a lot of it's
so
a fun.
The kinds
show.
Of changes you made obviously are in costume.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Things that people would wear, and y'all are having a fun time with that.
Yes. Oh yes.
What is your most outrageous costume that you wear?
My outrageous costume is in the second and third act. I'm in a white suit with a gold, as bright as the sun is, orange silk shirt.
Of course, the white shoes.
Yeah, the white shoes, white belt.
And of course, polyester shirt. What is it made out of?
It's kind of silk.
It's silky. Silky.
I got almost every – I was determined not to buy costumes. So we actually went to eBay mostly and bought vintage 70s clothing.
Oh,
so everything you're going to see is actually vintage clothing.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. Yeah.
Yeah. So you really like that outfit.
Oh, yeah. It's fun.
Yeah, it's very bright.
Now, do you have a costume for the – is it a costume ball party that you
–
That is yours.
Yes.
Okay.
And he's supposed to be going to jail.
Yeah.
To have a jail term, but Carson invites him to the party instead.
Okay.
And of course, he invites his wife and his maid, also all disguised as somebody
and
else.
And thus the story builds.
It continues.
Oh, yes.
The plot thickens. As
how many people are in the performance?
It's a 10-person cast, mm-hmm. actually named people. And then the chamber singers are run by William Plummer, our new choral director. There's 14, and they're the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we have the symphony, and mm-hmm. there's actually 60 of them in the orchestra pit, and with three acts, three different sets, and it's quite an it's quite a large production, extravagant production. So.
And this is going to be taking place at Angel Hall in the auditorium.
Of course. We need the pit. Yeah.
Are the chorus members dressed appropriately in costumes as well?
We have some in fringe and sandals and some with mullets and everything else. Leisure suits and it's very colorful and lots of fun. We even have a kind of a dominatrix sort of woman up there. With her whip.
In the chorus?
In the whip. Oh, well, they're all at the party.
They're all at the party. Okay,
and, of course, Prince Orlovsky, the role of Prince Orlovsky is what's called the pants role. It's a woman who's supposed to be a man. I mean, it's a man, but it's a played by a mezzo-soprano.
We're kind of getting
So she is – we've been calling her it. She's neither a man or a woman. She's kind of it. And it's kind of – I'm making her kind of androgynous. So you're not really quite sure what she is.
You all are having just too much fun with
this. It's a blast show. Yeah.
I don't know how people could resist not running to – if they love singing to enroll in this program at UL. Because as Nathan was describing, he had such great fun as an undergraduate here in those performances, comes back for an undergraduate, and look what he gets to be involved with. Just an amazing opportunity. So I'm just imagining this hitting the road, like becoming the new version of Defying Odds.
I don't know. This may be the only one ever like it, and maybe the last time.
I don't know. It's going to be, have you seen the Sean Roy version?
Let's take it to Broadway.
Look, someone could be in the audience.
It's true. Hey, they did La Boheme on Broadway.
That's right. Exactly. So this will open on Friday.
Yes.
And we'll run through the weekend, but it's just three performances.
Just three.
Can people get their tickets ahead of time?
No,
or just at the
unfortunately.
Door?
Okay. We still don't have that box office set up yet. So.
Right. Just at the door, but there are about 800 seats in Angel Hall.
Yes, so there's plenty of
seats. You should be able to get a seat. But as always, don't go too late because the line can be long sometimes.
It does, yes.
So get there a little early, enjoy yourself, visit with people, and get your ticket in plenty of time, and get a seat. Just where you want to sit, because even though it is a big production, you'll want to be in a good place.
Yeah, there are better seats than others. Mm-hmm. This Friday and Saturday are both at 7:30, and Sunday is a matinee for those who don't like to go out at night at 3:00.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And parking's pretty good on the weekends. You don't have to worry about it.
Right across the street, we have that big lot right there.
So. Right, exactly, on the corner of Girard Park Drive and St. Mary.
Absolutely.
So you all will, of course, be the finale for the College of the Arts. Mm-hmm. Festival of the Arts, great opportunity to see the talent of not only the UL Opera Theater, which, as you've heard Nathan describe, has been putting on fabulous programs year after year, but you get to enjoy the chorus, the UL Symphony, and the UL Chorus as well. Yes. So lots of talent, huge sound, amazing vintage costumes from the 70s, and very talented performers, including my guest Nathan Abbott, who plays the main character, who is Gabriel Rosenshine. Can you tell us the names of the other main performers, the 10 named performers?
I have my cheat sheet program here, so I don't forget them. We have a wonderful alumni guest artist joining us for this production, Andrea Mouton, who was here 6 years ago, I guess. And then she left here, went to LSU, got her master's, and she's back in town teaching and singing. She sung with ASO, she sung with Chorale Acadienne, and I needed a really strong character and a voice for this part, and we didn't quite have the size voice I needed, so I asked her to come back as an alumni artist, and she's just wonderful as Nathan's wife, Linda Rosenshine, the kind of fading actress in the middle of her life, and is not being very well handled by her husband, who's totally ignoring her these days.
Going down gracefully.
And her career is not going very well either. Mm-hmm. So, Dr. Philip Carson, who is the actual bat, I call him the doctor to the stars, is Casey Robichaux, who's one of our freshmen. We actually have a freshman in a leading role. Mm-hmm. Adele, the Rosenshine's maid and an aspiring actress, is Virginia Hess. Alex, who's a film actor and singer, Holden Green. And then Prince Orlovsky, the Russian aristocrat, is Shelby Runyon, a graduating senior. Frank Juarez, who's the chief of police, where Gabriel is supposed to go to jail, is Miguel Ochoa. And a lawyer, Mr. Flint. Pablo Gomez, another one of our grad students. Fred, who's a custodian. Chris Matoshi. Chris is very big here on campus. He's in the grad program in communications. And then another freshman, Sally, who's Adele's sister, Natalie Botkin. And we also have some guests who come to the party.
special guests.
And if you
from
come, you will
recognize them.
They're personalities from the time.
Personalities from the time.
Yes,
all right.
They just happened to arrive at this party in Hollywood. So think all about right. who may have been popular back in that time, and you might see them on stage.
Some of your favorite celebs from the 70s. Well, Nathan, in addition to that amazing costume that you described, which sounds like it's your favorite part of the production, tell us just a bit about the music that you sing. What is it you like about the music in this operetta?
The music is it's really well written. It's really easy to use it to springboard off to the emotional side of getting the message out there. Mm-hmm. Technically, it's very challenging. Some of it's really fast, especially with the choreography. But it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun. Easier to find the character within the piece mm-hmm. with the music there.
When you talk about it as being a springboard to express emotions, what kind of emotions are you expressing in this play?
There's a lot of anger at the beginning. There's a lot of anger. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The party is fun. It's the music almost fits the party mm-hmm. really well. Mm-hmm. Just how varied it is and how big, larger in life mm-hmm. the music gets.
And what kind of Sean mentioned that your wife is the fading actress. What is that relationship like? What kinds of do y'all have duets together?
We're in a lot of trios. We do have one duet in the second act. Mm-hmm. She is not – I don't know she's my wife.
Okay.
She her half of her part is singing about getting revenge on me. The other half is singing to me. And I'm the entire time trying to woo her away from the party.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And is she in disguise at the party? Or
yes.
What is she wearing?
She is in a full getup, a wig. She's wearing these giant glasses that I can't see mm-hmm, her face. Mm-hmm. Tons of jewelry.
Mm-hmm. She's supposed to be a Hungarian countess.
Yes. And she's got a very thick accent.
She has a crown and bejeweled in this.
Wow. I mean, just to go for the costume sounds fabulous.
I said when I first started to do it, I said, I think the most fun part of this will be costuming this show because just how much color can you put up there? Tacky color.
Every other day was, Nathan, try this on.
Very bright colors. Now, how has the symphony been getting along with this performance? Are they enjoying the music?
I think so, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the operetta, because operetta as opposed to opera is just light opera, basically. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. it's almost more, I keep saying more like musical theater, but that's where musical theater came from. It right. came from operetta. Mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. it's more similar to that. It's very bouncy. I mean, the show is about champagne. It's about they blame it on champagne at the end. That's why everything happened. Okay. And they serve champagne a lot in the mm-hmm, show, mm-hmm. as in Vienna. You think of, you know, yes. New Year's Eve mm-hmm. celebrations and champagne popping and. So it's bubbly. It has that buoyant, bubbly quality to it, the music. And so the orchestra, I think it took them a minute because when they play it by themselves, mm-hmm. it's a lot of pa-pa, and that's not very
more
interesting.
Viennese, no.
So it's like when you get the singers there and then you hear the tunes over that, it suddenly comes to life,
right.
you know. And so right. and then we're hearing them laugh at the dialogue in the pit because right. they're hearing it for the first time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's good for us to know that there is going to be, you know,
laughter.
Reaction, hopefully, to these lines. That I wrote.
A lot of bubbling going on in the orchestra pit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. If you are just tuning in, my guests are Sean Roy, who's director of the UL Lafayette Opera Theater, and Nathan Abbott, who's a graduate student in the School of Music in voice and
yes.
performance. And they are talking about Die Fledermaus, The Revenge of the Bat, an operetta by Johann Strauss that they are doing in collaboration with the UL Chorus and the Symphony, the UL Lafayette Symphony, part of the College of the Arts Festival of the Arts. And you all are the quite the finale for this week, really showcasing the very talented people that we have in the mm-hmm. School of Music, both faculty and students as well, undergraduates and graduates. So a great opportunity for all of us to enjoy ourselves, but also people who are interested in the field, interested in going into music, students, mm-hmm. Lots of students around here are very involved in music in their high schools, and this
right.
would be a great show for them to attend as well.
Right, mm-hmm. for the high school age. I promised that mm-hmm. I would stay
inbound.
That I would say on radio and anywhere that this may not be appropriate for younger
high school
people.
Will be all right.
But high school, they know all about that stuff.
Okay. So,
well, it is the 70s. We know there will be some, you know, things being passed around and lots of alcohol and, you know.
Well, it's quite the rage of the 70s right now.
Whatever happened in the 70s, I swear I saw a woman today at lunch who had the same exact hairstyle as one of the characters is wearing her wig in Act 2. I went, oh, my God. Is it the same wig? But, I mean, she had 70s hair because it's so everywhere I look, I see 70s hair and clothes. And
that's right.
It's like, oh, I can almost buy the costumes in the stores, you know, because they look so much like it.
Oh, no, I'm sure yours are better.
No. But
much
still.
More authentic. Well, so, yes, all of you out there with a hint of a platform shoe or
70s wear your hair. Wear your stuff to the show.
All right. It's sort of like the Halloween concert they do in the fall, but this
pull
is
pull out that old that old leisure suit you have in the back of the closet
right.
And
those
put it on.
Fringed belt.
Those big earrings,
that's right. Ooh,
ladies.
Okay, dive deep into your closet.
Dive deep.
Into your drawers.
Whatever fringe you have in there, just take it out.
Right, or add fringe everywhere. So great opportunity to dress up and really participate in the spirit of this performance. The Deflator Mouse, but set in 1976 in Hollywood. But it works really well, it sounds like, the story. And is this the finale for the Opera Theater for the spring?
Yes.
Okay.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is our big show for the spring.
What do you do in the fall? You do more of a musical theater?
I try to do one of each every year, one operatic thing, one musical theater thing. Mm-hmm. The fall, I'm still toying with. Mm-hmm. I'm still not sure. It's going to be an operatic event because the spring, we just got contracted, we will be doing Les Miserables with the ASO in Angel Hall.
Well.
So it's official, so we can announce it on the radio.
You heard it here first.
So next spring, during festival weekend, we're going to probably do a preview at festival and then do two performances in Angel Hall.
Fabulous.
So the fall, I'm still kind of figuring out.
Right. Well, so Nathan, once again, you get to join with ASO.
Oh, he sure does.
Excited. Yeah.
wonderful.
The word's getting around, so people are already calling me and saying, when are auditions?
A lot of competition for that one.
Yes.
Oh,
so
sure.
Les Miserables in the fall. We'll look forward to
in
that.
In the spring.
Spring. So, but the fall, you're still.
It's going to be an opera. Pop something in Burke, a smaller, chamber opera or something.
So
like
a full
that.
Year for people can get excited about auditioning and going to Les Miserables. And we'll have you back for that before that spring performance.
We'll bring the whole cast.
The whole cast. Right. Well,
we can't fit them in this room. I know that.
Our performance studio, I think we could.
Okay. I should make them come sing a tune.
That's right. Yeah. So, Deflator Mouse this weekend, Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 3 in Angel Hall Auditorium. Do you know what time the box office opens? Like an hour ahead of time, perhaps?
It will open an hour before, but you can't go sit down before half an hour.
So an hour ahead.
But if you want to get your ticket, then go out and enjoy the weather.
Enjoy the weather.
Go walk in the park.
Spring weather. And again, don't forget those 70s costumes if you have some. It would be a really great opportunity to commune with the performers on stage. My guest, Nathan Abbott, playing Gabriel Rosenshine in Deflator Mouse, and Sean Roy directing the UL Opera Theater and Deflator Mouse this weekend. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Judah.